couple of weeks ago, it was announced that Sony Pictures had bought the rights to the much-talked-about book Lean In, Women, Work and the Will to Lead. It's written by Facebook Chief Operating Officer Sheryl Sandberg. What exactly they're going to do with this proposed movie, who knows? Although Aaron Sorkin, who wrote the screenplay for The Social Network and that news thing that's on TV, The Newsroom too, he's supposedly over... And didn't he do The West Wing? I think he did. Supposedly, anyway, he's overseeing the development of the script for this one. But for the average working woman in Ireland, does the book Lean In have much relevance or advice? I mean, is Sheryl Sandberg speaking a lot of sense and giving good guidance? Well, we thought we'd ask a career woman to read it and to see what she thinks of the book and its author, Sheryl Sandberg, as well. So, good morning, Deirdre O'Shaughnessy. Deirdre, how are you? Are you all right?
Morning, Dave. I'm not too bad. How
good.
Are you?
Editor of the Cork Independent newspaper. I'm doing very well now. I've called you a career woman. You've got to be very careful about labelling people these days, because just because you're a career woman doesn't mean you can't be everything else as well. Is that okay?
Well, has anyone ever called you a career man?
Oh, God almighty. I just decided I'd get the attack in first. Okay, let's move on. No, they haven't, actually. Anyway, who exactly is Sheryl Sandberg?
She's the Chief Operating Officer of Facebook, and she's got a very interesting career history, actually. She talks about in the book when she was a child, and a lot of people I know, I think, could relate to this, that, you know, she was a bossy kid, and at her wedding, one of her siblings stood up to make a speech, and they said, you know, we were going to talk about what Sheryl was like when she played as a child, but she never played. She always just managed the rest of us playing. And I think I know quite a few people who did that as children, including myself. But she is the Chief Operating Officer of Facebook. She previously worked at Google, and she previously worked before that at the US Treasury Department. So she's got a really broad spectrum of jobs in really high places. But it's very interesting, because if you go back to her early education, she wasn't educated in tech at all. She talks about when she was at Harvard, the computer system, like, it was so obviously new at the time, that it was on tapes, and she managed to crash the Harvard computer system doing her thesis because she was so like ill-equipped for all this tech. So she actually studied economics at undergraduate level, and her thesis was in the economics of spousal abuse, which probably was a bit of a hint as to maybe her political beliefs and her kind of social conscience and that kind of thing.
Listen, I studied economics at undergraduate level as well, and look at this,
there,
I mean, like,
you know,
where did I go wrong? She's worth hundreds of millions, it seems, and according to Forbes, she's the 10th most powerful woman in the world.
Yeah.
Okay, well, look, let's just take a look at her book here, because the whole Lean In thing is not just a book. I mean, it's become an actual movement or something along those lines, and only this week that movement started campaigning for something that's very significant in your own line of work, isn't that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I was so overjoyed to see this. People who work in newspapers, and indeed people who read newspapers or magazines or look at websites, will be familiar with stock images. They're usually pretty cheesy, and we put them there basically where there's a space for a picture and we don't have one of a direct interview or of, you know, a real person in a situation. So you'll get, you know, you can go into, say, Shutterstock, for example, that's one of the websites we use. You go into Shutterstock and you say, okay, I need this this picture for an article accompanying, you know, why there aren't more female chief executives, or gender quotas on boards, or gender quotas in politics.
I know the pictures, it's like, you know, like somebody who's stressed about work, a stressed woman yesterday.
Yeah,
you'll see,
exactly.
With a head in her hand.
Yeah, so, but when you go looking for things,
they
like
always look
women,
fabulous. Go on, yeah.
Oh, they're horrendous. Like, they're models, first of all,
yeah.
So they don't look anything like
yeah.
most of us. And there in, say, a career woman photo will be a woman in stilettos and a business
yeah.
suit carrying a briefcase, climbing a ladder up to a glass ceiling. And you kind of look at this and go, what? Like, it's kind of, I mean, from the point of view of somebody who writes for a living, you know, you're like, you gave a metaphor to a photographer and they mangled it.
So basically, you find it very difficult to find good stock photos of women fully
yeah.
clothed, etc.
Yeah.
Right.
And actually of men as well. I mean, you know, if you look up a stock photo of a family, you know, you're always going to see, you know, sort of this American 2.4 children perfect looking family where the mother is doing the homework with the kids at the kitchen table and the dad is working, or the mother is cooking. It's very Anne and Barry, you know. So what Sheryl Sandberg has done, and the Lean In Foundation, basically she created this foundation from the profits of the book, and the foundation is there to kind of help fight some of the things she identifies as problems in the book. And what they've done is they've teamed up with Getty Images to produce stock images that are not so stereotyped.
Right, okay. In one way, now that's slightly an offshoot, but good, okay, great. It's good for your job too. But back to the book for a second. Like, you've read and you've cast your sort of analytical eye over it, and also it's a year later now with the impact that it's had. Was it all stuff that you already knew, or does she have something new or fresh to say on the whole subject of women in the workplace?
Well, I suppose because I'm quite tuned into this type of thing anyway, it's an area that I've done a lot of research in. I would have been familiar with a lot of the things, but actually it's no harm sometimes to remind yourself of what might be common sense, because you find common sense isn't that common. And a lot of the things she identifies in the book, say for example, people will assume that, for example, women aren't biased against women. Actually, that's wrong. Women are biased against women. And it's, you know, everybody is, because that's the way society is set up. She quotes a lot of studies that have been done. Say one, for example, where people are interviewing for a job and you might get two candidates with the exact same skills interviewing. Say one of the examples she has is for a police chief job, and what she finds is that in the roundup of candidates for this job, you have equally qualified men and women, but we'll say if men have very impressive third level qualifications, that's regarded as a necessary requirement, whereas if women have them, it's not regarded as particularly important and it's just passed over. And it's very interesting, because I'm sure you, like most people in the country at this stage, have watched Panty's Noble Call at the Abbey from last week. I don't know if you've seen it, but Panty makes the point that we're all to some degree homophobic, because that's the society we've grown up in. And actually Sheryl Sandberg makes a very similar point, that we're all to some degree sexist, because that's the society that we've grown up in. So that includes women, it includes feminists, it includes people who directly lose out.
Okay, but homophobic and sexist, they're two things. But what about just what she's doing here? I mean, regardless of how much it might have helped a lot of people, or you might see it as being sort of a good 12-step program to whatever. In other words, by the way, the title I think refers to like sitting at the table and leaning in, right? Mm-hmm. So in other words, you know, but you're leaning into a corporate culture created by men, if you like. You submit to the rules, you make changes from within, and that's how it works. But do you not think in some ways that leaning in is a little bit like submission?
In some ways it can be. I suppose where she's coming from is a particularly career orientated view of the world, but she does take pains in the book to say, look, my experience is not everyone's experience. Yeah. Not everyone is going to have this type of job where you are working 80 hour weeks or whatever. She said basically what she's kind of saying in the book is that you know, if you're going to make the choices you're going to make, you shouldn't be made to feel guilty for that because of society's pressure or because of your own pressure on yourself. So she actually points out that, say for example, if she doesn't spend a lot of time with her kids during the week, she'll say, I always try and get home for dinner with my kids. And she says that actually these days there's this pursuit of perfection, particularly among women, because women these days now are the educational high achievers, for example. So they're made to feel like they need to be perfect in education, they need to be perfect in their career, they need to be the perfect mother as well. And she actually has these statistics which show that in 1975 a stay-at-home mother spent 11 active hours with her children per week, actively looking to spend quality time with them. These days, a working mother spends 11 active hours with their children with quality time. And that kind of just shows you the change that has happened in parenting, that, you know, parents feel now that, you know, if their kids aren't going to rugby 1 minute and Boy Scouts the next minute and Girl Scouts 5 minutes after that, and then going on a play date and then spending quality time learning to read with their parents, that they're somehow failing. Whereas in that 1975 example, you know, kids spent most of the day out on their bike outside, and, you know, they spent maybe an hour a day doing their homework with their parents. So all those standards, I suppose, are relative, and that's what she's pointing out.
And is there an element of kind of rekindling the whole feminist ideal, which, let's be perfectly honest, the feminist revolution has stalled over the last couple of decades. I think it's fair enough you could possibly say that. I don't know, and this might be reigniting. Like, I mean, like, you know, everybody would like an equal world where women run half the nations and men run half the homes and all that.
That's very interesting.
Let's just assume that they would for one second, because nobody, I don't think, like, gender equality, then let's put it that way. Nobody's going to argue with gender equality, or are
Dave,
they?
Dave, you'd be surprised.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, in other words, the bloke does that, the woman does that, and let's leave it that way.
The amount of people who are very stuck in sort of old-fashioned ideals of who does what is actually very surprising, because up to about 2 years ago, I would have agreed with you. And I think about that time, say, Caitlin Moran brought out her book, How to Be a Woman. I think that's out maybe 3 or 4 years now. Around that time, this whole movement did start a resurgence. And I agree with you, it had stalled from probably the early 80s. People had gone, well, look, it's happened now. Like, it's finished. You know, we have equality. Women are getting university degrees, all this sort of
stuff. Can I just interrupt for one second? Just say how long the supposed feminist movement has been going, because it's going much longer than people think in terms of the 60s and the 50s. Just think back to the suffragettes of 70 or 80 years ago.
This
the fight
is,
for
I
birth
think,
control and all those kind of
feminism.
Things.
That's what this Sheryl Sandberg and Caitlin Moore and all of these people, I think this is the fourth wave. But what you will find is, because I suppose I practically have, you know, feminist branded on my forehead, so I tend to attract arguments from people at functions. And before Christmas, I was at a lunch with a business lunch, and the man beside me said, "Oh, look, this is all nonsense. Men and women are different. Can you not just accept it?" And yeah, men and women are different. That doesn't mean that they're not equal. And I think what my point would be, and what Sheryl Sandberg's point with this is as well, is that you know, you should be equally free to make the choices that are right for you as an individual. So, like, if men want to stay at home and look after their kids, that's equally feminist. And you know, in this country at the moment, you could say we have a lot of very positive infrastructure. I mean, we have maternity leave, which, for example, they don't have in the States. But we don't have paternity leave. So while women are empowered to take maternity leave, men aren't. So therefore, the women can't, you know, if you have a partnership where a man wants to look after his kids, he can't.
Right, I'll tell you what, I was going to say about five different things there, but I'm going to say none of them, because we're going to go to the news and I'm going to come straight back to you, Deirdre, after that, if you can hang on. Great, thanks a million. We're talking to Deirdre O'Shaughnessy, we're talking about the Sheryl Sandberg book. Now that it's been out a good long time and people have been able to kind of digest it and live by it, maybe, Lean In, Women Work and the Will to Lead, again after this. Now, Deirdre, are you still there, yeah?
I am.
Okay, very good indeed. Now, let's just, can I kind of, what's the word for it, sum up the last kind of bit there by just saying that, you know, that it's great that a book hasn't lost its power to spark heated national debate, which this one certainly is doing that. But is it a feminist manifesto, and is that a good thing?
It is to a point, yeah, it is. And that is definitely a good thing, because I think what's happened, and she talks about this at length in the book, actually, so many people are afraid to use the word feminism.
Yeah.
I mean, you've recently seen Beyonce has actually declared herself a feminist, but there's a song on her new album, I think, all about, you know, wanting to be hit by her husband kind of a thing. So you sort of look at that and go, God, but it's amazing that she's got this far with it. Because if you look at Lady Gaga, she was asked, was she a feminist? And she said, that went off on this bizarre rant about how she loves men, ergo she couldn't be a feminist. I mean, I love men, you know, but that, you know, and that's great, and that's one part of your life, but it's I mean, feminism, really, people have taken it to mean, and it has been subverted to mean that, you know, you wear shoulder pads and you're angry and you stamp on people with your stilettos. But I mean, the question you always have to ask is, if a word's meaning is changed like that in a negative way, who made it like that? Who wants that word to lose its power, and who wants that word to become a negative? And who, you know, and that's obviously something that has happened consciously. So I think the new generation of feminists actually have come out and gone, there's nothing wrong with this word. We've been led to believe that there is. All it means is that you want men and women to have equal opportunities. Once you believe that is true, then you are a feminist.
Okay, but does she put, like, kind of the onus on women who are already struggling to fulfill impossible demands or dreams or whatever? Because, I mean, like, you know, she's worth 100 million plus, etc. Mm. She's 10th most powerful woman in the world or whatever. She's not really writing for some people who aren't in her sort of framework in some ways.
Yeah. Now, I have to say, before I read the book myself, I was very sceptical about that, and I kind of said, like, what is there to learn from her? But actually, one of the most interesting things that I thought about the whole concept of leaning in, right, and, you know, I don't like these buzzwords, and it kind of irritates me, this corporate speak, but at the same time, one of the biggest things she says is that girls in their teenage years and in their college years are the higher achievers, generally. And in some ways, that is probably because the education system rewards typically female behaviour, like being more compliant and being more obedient, whereas the minute you get out of school, being obedient and compliant are no longer actually beneficial things to you in your life. You know, if you're sitting at this board, you know, boardroom table that she talks about, and you're just sitting there going, yes, I agree with what everyone else says, then you're never going to get anywhere. But she points this out, and she says that that girls at this age, once they hit about college age, they start to think ahead, and they start to think ahead too far. And this really struck a note with me, because I remember being in college and talking to my friends about, you know, and I studied law in college. A lot of my friends are corporate lawyers, they're barristers. I'm a journalist, so I seemingly I'm not making as much money as the rest of them, but they're in quite high power jobs, all of them, and they all of us would have had the discussion of, oh, is this a good route to go down if we want to have children? At that point, none of us even knew if we did want want to have children. We just assumed that this was going to be a problem. And she says what is happening is girls are leaning out before they ever need to, and they're depriving themselves of opportunities because of this thing that might someday happen to them. Like, I personally, I remember thinking at one point about being a diplomat, and I decided, well, I'd been a terrible diplomat anyway because I can't keep my opinions to myself, but I decided, no, you're not going to be able to do all that travel and to move abroad. Like, what about your family? Like, this fictional family that I still don't have, you know? But that happens.
Well, look, I'll tell you, I just want to ask you one last one here, because in fact, here's a text here that could keep us going till 4 in the afternoon. It says, we can't have gender equality because we are not the same in body or brain. Men are superior. End of, says Mike.
Great.
Okay, stop. I'm not asking you to comment on that. Let's just move on to the last thing here. There's going to be the movie coming out soon, right? And there's also what you mentioned at the very beginning, which is, you know, in terms of women being bitchy to other women or whatever the thing. Do you find that, you know, the whole issue of women supporting other women in the workplace, there's an awful lot written before that women are bitchy and competitive and they particularly don't like having a woman boss. Are women supportive of each other enough from your own experience?
Yes and no. I think women are probably as supportive as men are. It's just that
you didn't want to be a politician.
I think you just take it more personally when it comes from another woman, because she writes about this as well. You have an expectation of support from other women, and when you don't get it, you're surprised. Women are rewarded or are expected to be nice. Men are not expected to be nice at work. They're expected to be professional.
Okay, I'm just thinking of the movie. I mean, finally. Seriously. What movie? I don't get it.
I don't either, and I really don't know where this is going. I think if you look at what Aaron Sorkin did to Mark Zuckerberg, I mean, if Cheryl is in for the same treatment, she's in serious trouble.
Yeah, it was great though.
it's a tough one. I mean, how do you make a movie about, you know, being a career woman or whatever without it turning into, you know, Dolly Parton work at 9 to 5? I just don't understand how it's going to work out. But then again, I mean, Sorkin had some very strong female characters. If you look at CJ in The West Wing and things like that, so fingers crossed.
I could make a sexist joke here, which would really end it perfectly. Which was your man who made 9 to 5 was asked about Dolly. I shouldn't be doing this. I really shouldn't. Was asked about Dolly Parton. Says, is she any good actress? No, she's not much of an actress, but she sure can hanging over a balcony. Sorry.
Okay.
I just thought I'd throw that in just for you. Deirdre, listen, thanks a million for talking to us.
Thanks a million.
And let's see what happens. By the way, is the movie 2015? 14?
I'm not sure.
All right, okay. Editor of the Cork Independent newspaper, thanks a million, Deirdre. Good luck.
Thank you.
Take it easy. All right, now let me.